We have a series of messages that next week we'll talk about worship, and the week after that, overseers and deacons. And as we roll into October, we'll unpack more of 1 Timothy as we talk about elders and advice, and we'll continue on to the love of money. But we'll be working our way through 1 and 2 Timothy until it rolls into the Christmas season. And we're just going to take it line by line, verse by verse, and see what the Lord has to share with us. Today is September 11, 2011. We're going to talk about grace today. And you have one of the most mammoth outlines falling out of your bulletin that I've done in a while. Last week, your outline was one of the shortest. And this week, it's one of the longest. And hopefully next week, we'll get a balance between the two. It's a fill-in-the-blank outline, so grab your outline, grab a pencil, and we're going to walk through this at rather rapid rate. So how do you define grace? I was surprised when I clicked grace on my computer how many different things that means. For you, it may be saying a blessing over a meal or something else. What we want to look at today in grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace is something we receive without any merit on our own. So are you looking for a life example as you go through this, or maybe you have family members that you think would need a life example? What we're going to do in our Bible study is what Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 1:11, four aces, and it says, "Follow my example as I follow Christ." So let's unpack 1 Timothy and try to do that this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 says to us today, "Thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength. He has considered me faithful, appointing me to his service, even though I was a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man. I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. For the grace of the Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst." Verse 16 says to us, "But for this very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life." Verse 17 says, "Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Verses 18 and 19 say to us, "Timothy, my son, I give you instructions in keeping with the prophecies which were once made about you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith." And finally, verse 20, "Among them is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme." So as we read through that, did anything stand out to you or speak to you from the scripture that you want to note? As we look at Paul's example and Christ's example of life, will you try to find something here today that you can take home with you? As we look at Paul's example and then Jesus' example and provision, and then what will I do with that truth? We'll begin at verse 12. "I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength and considered me faithful in appointing me to service." So when we look at Paul's example, first of all, your first blank is Paul is thankful. So we are to be thankful in whatever situation you may find yourself in. Sometimes that's a little awkward with the constant, consistent pain of shingles in my life, and looking at my wife dealing with the cancer she's doing, and looking at some of the family situations and financial situations at my house, it's challenging to be thankful. And probably at your house, it's the same. But Paul was very thankful. And he knew that he was weak is your second blank, weak without Jesus. As we read 2 Corinthians this week, 1st chapter, verse 8, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about what hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we were despaired even of life. And the next verse says, indeed, our hearts, we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. So Paul's saying in the deep, dark challenges of life, what he learned was not to rely on himself, but on Christ Jesus. See on your outline is Paul is faithful. You will see Paul's example that he is faithful in all situations. D on your outline, he is a servant. He is a consistent servant. So when we look at Christ's example or provision, point A on your outline is he provides strength. When we have challenges in our life, Christ will provide the strength that we need in our weaknesses. B, God calls and appoints us to serve. Each one of us has an appointment and a job. If you were not in this building, I wouldn't say that of you. But because you show up here, I believe that he has appointed you someplace to serve. So as we look at point three, what does that mean to us today? A, I am thankful. Because of Paul's example, because of Christ's provision, I am thankful. B, I know that I'm weak without Jesus. I don't try to do this on my own strength. I enter each day realizing I am weak without the provision of the Lord Jesus. C on your outline, my life is one that is faithful. That's my decision, my determination, my value, my challenge for each day is to be faithful. And I start out believing that to be true, and most of the time it works. D, I am a servant. Which one of those do you find do not fit with your life? Thankfulness, weakness, faithfulness, servant. Where do you need to follow Paul and Christ's example and provision? Look with me at verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. So what's Paul's example to us? A, Paul's past was not the best, yet Christ can change anyone. Christ can change, save anyone, including the Muslims who attack our country, including the family members that we have. Christ can change anyone. Paul acted in ignorance and unbelief. And so it's important to understand that that's the way most unbelievers, sinners, will act, ignorant and unbelieving. Now, point two on your outline, what is Christ's provision? Jesus is merciful. He is full of mercy. He is full of grace. That's his provision. B on the outline, he can make the most ignorant and unbelieving wise and faithful. And he can do that today in people that we know. Point three on your outline, what will I do with this? Is your past like mine and Paul's, one that has significant dark parts to it? I was at the Hauk International last night. A young lady came to visit my wife and share testimony with her how our ministry impacted and affected her life. And some of the dark spots of my past that I apparently shared with her in training and discipleship had a critical turning point in her life. So even the bad, dark spots in our past can be useful in Christ's work in people's life today. Do you have those dark spots? Will you submit to Christ Jesus and release His life-changing power within you this week? It takes submission on our part to release His power. If you resist Him, it's different than if you submit to Him. Look with me at verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. So when you look with me at Paul's example, A, Paul's testimony is one that shows us the power of the grace is your blank. God is willing to pour out on us and pour into us to fill us with His Holy Spirit. B, on your outline, Paul's testimony is one that shows us the power of love and faith Jesus offers us. The faith that we use is also supplied in Jesus Christ. The love that we need for those family members that are sincere and deep challenges in our life. Here's the resources: grace, love, faith, that God can change and will change anybody in response to our prayers. So what's Jesus' provision? His provision is abundant. Abundant is your blank. He's not short on His provision. B, it is clearly presented here again that what we need is provided in Christ Jesus alone. In Christ Jesus is your blank. That's where everything you need is provided, is in relationship, personal, intimate relationship with Him. Allowing His Spirit to cleanse you, wash you, fill you, and flow through you. So, what am I going to do with that truth? A, will you open is your blank, your life to Jesus, and let Jesus pour Himself into you. See, He will not force His way on anyone's life. You must respond to His invitation. So, will you? Will you open your life, respond to Him, and allow Him to impact and change you? Now, verse 15 goes on to share, here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So, as we look at Paul's testimony, hey, Paul was once upon a time a sinner, is your blank. And he was a good one. He actually helped kill Christians. B, his testimony is that Jesus Christ saved, is your blank, saved Paul from his sins and the eternal results. So that's Paul's example and testimony to us. Now, what's Christ's provision? In Christ Jesus, Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's what it says here. Paul, He came to save sinners. B, Jesus can and will save the worst. There's a solution. Christ came to save sinners, and He can and will save the worst of them, or even the people we know. So, what will you do with the truth? Do you see it as I am the worst of sinners? Or do you see it, well, I'm not quite as bad as them. I'm doing better than they are. Or in your honest relationship with Christ, do you see that you need Him desperately more than anybody else because you're the worst sinner? That's where you need to start, humbly at the bottom, not judgmentally thinking you're not as bad as other people. You need to come to the reality, as Paul did, that he was the worst of them. Do you believe that Jesus Christ can save the worst? Can you? How are you acting on what you believe? What appointments are you making? What events are you scheduling? What are you doing to act upon that faith? As we study James, your faith without actions is just as dead as a head of a hammer. You need to put shoe leather to it. Look with me at verse 16. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ might display his unlimited patience as an example to those who would believe on and receive his eternal life. So what's Paul's example? A, he was shown mercy is your blank. B, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display is your blank, display his unlimited patience. C, I am an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Example is your blank. Paul's example is, God can do this in anybody's life and the worst of them and make them as good as and effective and as powerful as Paul. So number two, Jesus' provision. Jesus gives mercy freely is your blank. He gives mercy. And then secondly, B, Jesus provided unlimited patience. Unlimited is your blank. And sometimes I think that's very necessary that it's unlimited in my life experience. C, those who would believe on him receive eternal life. So what does it take? It needs to be that I believe and receive this faith, this mercy, this grace, this eternal life. I need to believe it and receive it. Number three, what will you do with it? Do you know the mercy Jesus offers? And do you give that mercy that I have received? So do you know that mercy personally? Do you give that graciously to people? Are you patient and merciful like he is, like Paul was? So, do I let Christ Jesus display his unlimited patience through me? Is your life one that you can find your temper with no problem? Or are you one that somewhere or another have lost your temper and you can't find it anymore? It should be one that you've lost your temper and you've found unlimited patience and you demonstrate that in Jesus Christ. Am I an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life? Do you live in a way that you could be pointed at as an example of that? Verse 17, now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So, what was Paul's example? A, he knew how to define and worship God. Define and worship. He could put into words, he could articulate who God is. I think if he would have added holy to that list, he would have had it perfect. Now, B on your outline, the kingdom comes first. Paul was very kingdom-minded. And when you look at Christ's provision, he is the king, blank, king eternal. Jesus is immortal. He is invisible. He is the only God. There is no other God other than Jesus. He is the only way. As Richard would say, in this very fluid sort of a religious culture we live in, any way is a good way to get to heaven. That's not what we're saying. Jesus Christ, his provision, his grace is the only way. He's the only God. See, he is to be given, is your blank, honor and glory forever and ever. You give him honor and glory. You worship him out loud. That's what you do. So, what will I do with this today? Will I say amen? Will I say, so be it done here and in my life? Will I speak out worship like Paul did to the only King, immortal, invisible, be glory and honor to his holiness forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. Is that what you will do with your life? Look with me at verses 18 and 19. Paul instructs Timothy, my son, I give you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies once made upon you, so that by following them you might fight the good fight, holding on to the faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and have shipwrecked their faith. So what's Paul's example to us? A, fight the good fight. Fight is your blank. Hold on to the faith and good conscience. You need to fight. As we finished reading and studying Ephesians just recently, we studied about putting on the whole armor of God and doing that on a daily basis. Again here, he is saying, fight against the dark forces spiritually. B, Paul was warning some. His warning is that some have rejected, is your blank, rejected these, so they have shipwrecked their faith. Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but a shipwreck is not a fun thing. But they have caused problems in their life because they have rejected this call to fight the good fight in good conscience and in good faith. So what's Jesus' provision for us? He sends prophecies. Sends is your blank. He actually sends truths and prophesies on our lives so that, B, they give us direction and encouragement for the long term, for the long haul. This is not a sprint car race. This is an endurance race. A lot of people accelerate really well off the starting line, but their motor falls apart before they get to the 500 miles. It's a long-term race, and you need these prophecies, and you need to remember the truth in your life as you fight the good fight over the long term. Now, number three, what will you do? Will you stay the course? Will you fight the good fight to the end? That's what I've determined to do. I'm going to stay the course. I'm going to fight the good fight to the end. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to surrender. They're never going to take me prisoner. I'm going to fight till my last breath. And then I hope to meet him, and he says, hey, good job, boy. What about you? Are you determined I will fight the good fight to the end? Are you dressing for it? Are you fighting it? Our last verse is verse 20. Among them are Hymenaeus and Alexander, who have handed over to Satan to be taught not to blaspheme. So number one, what's Paul's example? Sometimes you need to release people to Satan. Sometimes in relationship, in Christian community, leadership needs to release people to Satan. Now why would you do that? Paul did that as a teaching method. He did it to teach them to come to the end of themselves and to not blaspheme. Now this Hymenaeus will show up again in chapter 2, verses 17 through 19, so you'll get more details on what he actually did to come. But Paul used that as a teaching method. Now I don't very often do that in leadership. I don't very often turn people over to Satan to be taught. But it's something that we need to do in church leadership from time to time. So number two, what is Jesus' example or provision? Jesus knows how far and how much each of us needs to become totally dependent, is your blank, totally dependent on him. He knows exactly how much we need to get to that point to where we are totally dependent on him. Now, Jesus gives Satan limitations and direction. It's clear in Job that every day he has a conversation with Satan and lets him know what he can do, how much he can do, and how much he can't do in our lives. But God does use him to teach us sometimes. So our last point, number three, is I will walk in respect of the truth and careful not to blaspheme. Will you do that too? Will you walk carefully? Now, all that totaled up is a whole lot. That's a lot, and it went fast. So what spoke to your heart? Which of those blanks, which of those statements spoke to your heart? Now, how will you respond to that? Don't just fill in the blanks and say, well, that was a long outline, and Pastor went fast, and he went a few minutes over, but actually respond to what the Scripture and what the Spirit of God said. Whatever you see here, whatever you decide to do with it, is a result of the grace that God offers. The grace of God is always at the center of it all. Would you pray with me in closing? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy. Thank you for your provision of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the testimony of Brother Paul and Timothy. And most of all, thank you for what your Holy Spirit is doing in our lives, through our lives, in our little church, and through our little church, to bring honor and glory to your kingdom, to extend your kingdom, and to allow the wonderful life, the resurrection life of your Son, Jesus Christ, to impact others today, this week, this year. We pray for all those who are suffering today in response to what happened 10 years ago. We pray again for our enemies and pray that you will defeat them and bring them to eternal relationship with you. So we pray for them. We thank you for what you're going to do in our lives and in our families' lives this week. And we thank you that you came to save sinners and you could save the worst of them. And we pray you would use us to do that. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen.